Hello, everybody, and welcome to 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is a show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great today, brother. How you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. Today, we have a special episode. Today, we're looking at why we avoid the scarcity mindset and scarcity thinking. So, Gino, give us a little background. What was the inspiration on today's show?
Well, as I've been doing a lot of reading, Jake, you know I like to read, and I've been reading books on Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman, and they have some great information. The problem with that information is it stops at a certain point. Now, if you're in a financial tough spot or you're a financial mess, you need to start with them. But it's just like being an entrepreneur. When you first start out, you need to start at the base level. You need to get the fundamentals, the foundation built. But then after that, you need to leave that foundation. You know, you're buying a multifamily property. Great. You buy two, you buy three. By your fourth or fifth one, if you don't turn into that next iteration, that next inflection point, you're going to be the mom and pop that Jake and Gino are going to buy from. So that's why this is so important, all this information that we're about to share with you. I want to start off with a quote. And this really hit home. This is really the inspiration for me. If you have a problem and you have money, and money can solve that problem, then you don't have a problem. For me, it took years and years to really realize that because I was living in the scarcity mindset. I thought I had to hoard my money. I can't let go of my money. Oh, wow, I got a dentist bill for $5,000. I ain't paying for that.
Gino's up there negotiating with the receptionist. Can I get 10% off this? I've been there, folks. All right.
but I'm just saying, like, why are we making the money? Well, Dave Ramsey is telling you to save it for 40 years, put it into retirement, have money in a savings account. But then your scarcity mindset says, I only have X amount to live off of. I can only pull this much out. Whereas the abundance mindset says, the abundance mindset says, first of all, I'm going to make more than that. I'm going to continue to crush it. But not even that. I have this money. Money's a tool. Let me pay for my kids' debt and braces and not worry about it because at least I have the money to solve the problem or to buy glasses or to go on vacation. I used to always look at it from a scarcity mindset. Now I look at it from a gratitude mindset. And the scarcity mindset does not allow you to have gratitude for what you have, what you've owned, what you earn, because you're always worried about losing it. It's always a rainy day. Those days are rainy. Absolutely.
That. Think about that. Yes. Just the terminology. And I want to go back to what you said about of Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman. Gino talked about a starting point. Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, financial information, financial education, whatever they're offering up, those are training wheels. Think about where training wheels will get you. They'll get you down the middle of the road if it's paved nicely, okay? That's where training wheels will get you. If you have to go onto the sidewalk, you have to go in the dirt, you have to go any further in your life and grow, you're done. The training wheels are not going to get you there, okay? It's to get you on the bike and get you started. That is Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman financial education. But guess what? Ultimately, the training wheels are not going to take you anywhere. You got to take the training wheels off, and that's what we're going to get into today. So I just wanted to make that clear.
I love that analogy. That's a great. I guess someone's trying to teach their kids how to ride a bike, and that's
I've been in it. It's time to lose those things, man.
That's a wonderful analogy. I'm going to mention a couple of things that Dave Ramsey says that I think are pretty insane for the average person. Cut up your credit cards. How the hell are you going to live in this society without credit cards? We're going to a cashless society right now. I'm trying to buy a cup of coffee. I can't buy a cup of coffee without a credit card.
Dude, hold on. I got to stop you right there. I'm sorry, because I will not. Because here's the option, right? You either have a debit card or you have a credit card. Let's be completely transparent on this. If you don't have a credit card, you're losing thousands of dollars in points. In addition to that, the reason I will never use a debit card is because I don't want anyone having access to my actual cash.
Right. And they get
hacked. If it's the bank, guess what? If it's the bank or the credit card, if it's a credit card company, they're a big, strong company and they can dispute it. They can fight it. They can shut the payment down and take the money back. Try doing that with your local community bank or whatever bank you have. Much harder. I don't want someone clawing into my actual account. The credit card is a stop in the way of that from happening, and I'm using their money. You ever heard OPM, other people's money? That's what a credit card is, and I'm making money on it because I pay it off weekly. Duh. Come on, we're better than this, folks.
And now, like Jake said, take off the training wheels. For those of you that are impulse shoppers that can't handle it, maybe you need to cut the credit cards up for 6 months or a year to get your spending under control. But then you need to have the discipline and the dedication to get the credit cards back. How are you going to rent a car? How are you going to, you know, get a hotel room? You need these things. And why not earn points, like Jake said, on it. So cutting up the credit cards, I think.
If you're not married, how are you going to get a date without a credit card these days? You're going to look like an idiot. You're going to pull out that big wad of cash like Gino's dad. It's going to have one of them rubber bands around it.
With the broccoli rubber bands, my friend. Yeah. Now we're talking. Those are the days. Hey, 20 years ago, a lot of information was relevant 20 years ago. I didn't use credit cards up until I got into real estate. I really didn't, but it has changed. And I was disciplined enough that I had money to box. The wife would go to the box, open up the box and go, Gino. I said, Jewel, that box is yours, baby. Raid the box. Because we were disciplined enough that we weren't going out buying jewelry and stuff. It was there. And we were actually disciplined to say, hey, we're going to be able to take this money out and use it for whatever. Jake, another one. Let's pay down our mortgage or get rid of our mortgage. Yeah, when you're first starting out, I don't believe in that. Now that Jake and I are older, we understand the difference between personal debt and business debt. Okay, I don't have debt on my homes. I just got rid of it. I said, I don't need it. I've got insurance, taxes. Those are my carry costs. But I made that option. I have lines of credit that if I need to tap into them, hey, wonderful. But when you're first starting out, you're taking out a loan today. And you're telling me 5 years from now, you still have that loan. You're paying in much cheaper dollars. It's inflation. The dollar is getting cheaper. So 5 years from now, you're paying back that loan with cheaper dollars. I mean, why would you want to get rid of that loan at 3%? The cost of capital at 3 or 4%, you're borrowing money. You're able to actually own an asset, let that asset appreciate while you're paying down with cheaper dollars in the future. Now, obviously, if you're buying a home that is more expensive than what you are, a home is a luxury, and you're getting a mortgage just to, stay with the Joneses, as you like to say, that's idiocy. What I'm talking about is, hey, you got a home, you're $200,000 mortgage, and you're paying it fine. Let me get rid of it. Well, you're only 3 or 4% of your money. You could do much better other places with that.
I have enough awareness now to know. So I don't carry, personal debt anymore, right? We've talked about this. At least I have enough awareness to know that it's a source of pride for me. And it's actually not that smart.
Like, yes.
It'd probably be better if I had mortgages and then I was actually trying to lever that money into something else. There's something about not having the personal debt that I truly enjoy. And it's a source of pride. I can't sit here and tell you it's a good financial move, right? It's something that I do. I kill the mortgage, but I just don't like having the personal debt. I truly believe in the business debt, especially the non-recourse business debt. But I can't say that I think I would recommend that to people, or I think it's a great idea.
But 10 years ago, when you were starting out, you did have mortgages on your property because you need to use that cash to invest in the deals. But as you got paid and as you built your business, you're like, let me take the business debt and I'm going to lever down and pay down my personal debt. Yeah. And that's what we both ended up doing. I had mortgages up until very recently, a couple years ago, because I'm like, okay, I can pay them off. I'm making money on my business and then I'll pay the mortgage. But when it came time to pay the mortgage, I'm like, okay, I want to be able to sleep at night. Yeah. I don't have any debt on my personal.
It's pride, dude.
It's a personal choice.
I don't think it's a savvy business move. It's just something I want to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Couple other things, Jake. What happens with these financial gurus, they're only focusing on the expenses. I never hear them talk about top line. Well, he talks about going out and getting a pizza delivery job or something. They're never talking about expanding the top line, the revenue that you're bringing into your household. All they're doing is coupon clipping and saying, oh, well, don't go to Starbucks, something that you could possibly enjoy and make your life more happy and more productive. look at those expenses that really are killing you. But at the same time, don't focus just on expenses.
It's not sustainable either.
Yes, it's a well. That's what happens. Then you get down to it, and you become fearful, and you feel like you're losing something, and then you go on a spending binge. That's the thing. Create a spending plan, not just an expense plan or what we call a budget. I think focusing on your entire plan, the income coming in, let's try to get that up. And the expenses, let's try to normalize our expenses. Let's at least try to spend less than what we're making. That's the first step. Then the next step, how do we expand it? And that leads me to the next point, saving. Saving to retire is putting money away and then being afraid to pull it out once you're in retirement. Saving is a scarcity mindset to me. If you're just saving for an event, right? Mm-hmm. Because that money's sitting there and it's earmarked for something. I can't touch that money until. Well, first of all, let's say you never retire and you pass away before you retire. Well, that sucks. Or you put money away for a kid's college and the kids don't go to college. Well, that sucks. Save to learn how to buy an asset.
Dude, let's be real here too. When people get older, and I'm going to speak about my grandmother right now, she's got money in the bank. She makes a little bit, she makes Social Security money. She's got some interest. She's got some things coming in, right? So she's got some income coming in. She is fearful to touch the nut.
Yes.
Right? She's not going to touch the nest egg.
Yes.
And so it's like this little bit of money that's coming in. So she just feels like she wants to live off of the stuff that's coming in. You know, it's just people get to that point and they get
we were conditioned that way, weren't we? Wasn't she conditioned that way with the scarcity mindset? Was what we're talking about.
Yeah, but how many, but you know what it is? And you know people like this, and so do I. You know, she's worried about, you know, passing it down to her kids and making sure there's something to, you know, pass down the line. So she's now, you know, they've built this up and now they're afraid to touch it. So it's like, guys, think about what we're doing and conditioning ourselves. You build it up and we're going to use it someday. And then if you're a super responsibility junkie like my grandmother, it's there and you won't even use it because you're scared to death. So that's why having assets that pay you every month is the key. We don't want to just rely on this nest egg sitting there because now that's devaluing. Okay. Inflation's outpacing it. And then we're not even going to use it when we get to a certain point if we have a certain personality type. It's very sad in a way.
Bruce, if I can really read your mind, because I got notes here and it's going to go into the next one, which I think is truly important. I can speak from personal experience on this. Scarcity mindset does not allow you to think about being charitable. When I was at the restaurant, I really held out to my money because I didn't know where the money was coming from.
Give a free slice to anybody.
and to me, I was rather charitable, but I really thought twice about it. And I'm like, should I give it away? And my mom would always say to me, hey, you know, you better not be giving a lot of money away because you never know what's going to happen next year. And now I could possibly say I'm probably giving more money away now per year in time and treasure than, you know, I used to earn 10 years ago. And that's because I really adopted the abundance mindset because I know when I give something away, number one, I feel really fulfilled. That's what we're all about. I can't take it with me. If I'm here, let me enjoy it with my family. Let me enjoy it with my friends. Let me enjoy it with the Friars. Let me enjoy it with the down in Nicaragua where we have charitable events down there. We, you know, the Second Harvest Food Bank. I can go on and on. I'm just thinking about all the different events that we're doing. And if I have the scarcity mindset, I'm not letting that money go. But with the abundance mindset, I know that I'm giving it away. I'm doing something great, and it'll come back to me in a certain way. Whether I earn more money, I feel really fulfilled. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to make more money. You need to become more charitable in life because you're really giving impact. And I'm not telling you everyone, all the listeners should be, but that should be one of their buckets. One of the buckets that we teach our kids.
Dip your toe in the water. Dip your toe in the charity pond a little bit. It feels good.
Yeah, it does. And then, and with the scarcity mindset, grandma out there is not being charitable. Could, not that she doesn't want to, but she's afraid to let go of the nut because all of a sudden what happened? The nut's not there anymore. So, you know, look at that from that perspective. Scarcity does hold back people from being charitable. And I'm telling you, this one's huge, Jake. Scarcity mindset tells you to focus on money, not on creating value. When you're scarcity mindset and you're in the rat race and you're W-2, all you're thinking about is how much money did I make this week? Whereas Jake and I come on these videos, we may never make money from these videos. I don't know. And I don't really care. All I know is that when I get off this call with Brosif, I'm having a great day. I'm flying high. I've created value for some of the listeners out there, and I continue to do that. We don't chase money when we have the growth mindset or the abundance mindset. We chase opportunity, and ironically, that money sooner or later will follow. So when you have a scarcity mindset, you're saying to yourself, I need the next dollar. When am I going to make the next dollar? I gotta get the financial freedom. But the abundance mindset is, you know what? I've got enough money coming in. I enjoy this. Let me go out and let me help somebody today. Let me build something. Let me serve something. Let me become a life coach and just help people out. And then all of a sudden things start happening to you. And that's the amazing part. That's why that scarcity mindset holds so many people down. With the scarcity mindset, you have a fixed mindset. It is. You read the book by Carol Dweck, Mindset. There's the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. The growth mindset is one of abundance, one that there's the ability to learn, to continue to add. The pie is not finite. There's not 8 slices in the pizza pie with the growth mindset. There's a lot more than 8 slices. The fixed mindset is like, there's only fixed amount of money. If we, you know, take the money in the economy and we tax people, this is all we got. No, not in real estate. Because in real estate, when you sell a property, the buyer's happy, the seller made money, the accountant makes money, the title company makes money, the broker makes money, the residents, hopefully in the long run, make money because they're going to get a property that's fixed. Hopefully the investors are making money. So you can see how this could be an infinite solution. And if you're the scarcity mindset, you're looking at that real estate problem, you're buying a multifamily, you're thinking there's winners and there's losers. Well, when there's a transaction, most of the time, sellers are probably selling for a profit and buyers are buying that property. They're getting benefits, cost segregation benefits, they're getting appreciation, they're getting principal pay down, and they're getting cash flow. So I think with the abundance mindset, you see all these opportunities. With the scarcity mindset, all you're doing is, hey, I'm going to put my money in a mutual fund. Hopefully that works out well. 40 years later, I'm going to cash it in. There's no control there. There's no abundance there. And like Jake said, I'm going to hit it once again. Grandma is afraid to touch that money 40 years from now. I don't want you to condition yourself to a life of scarcity.
It's not just her. A lot of folks are. I wish I could find a way to emphasize the point that you're trying to make here, because if people took this one point away from today's show, even though we gave some other, you know, ideas and we put some other tips out there, this is the most value, folks, that you're going to get. The idea of creating value for someone else. Okay. That is so much more important for you to do if you want to grow financially than making the next dollar. I just don't know how to emphasize this enough, because Gino went kind of quick with it and it was like probably fun to listen to him. But if you really stop for a second here and think about what he just said, if you can create value for someone else, it's going to come back to you tenfold. You can't skip over this point, because if you're out there chasing that next buck, or Gino's running the pizzeria and you know he's out there and he's just looking at the customer thinking, how am I going to make money off this person? That was the mindset. Mm-hmm. He was providing good food. I'm not hating. I love the food. That's why I went there. But it was a different mindset at the time. If you can shift gears to saying, okay, I have a customer. I want more customers. How do I provide value for them? It's going to change the game for you, period.
Absolutely. And I opened the business to serve my family. The business was to provide for my family. That's the scarcity mindset. The yes. business is to provide for your customers. And that's what we're doing to Jake and Gino. Over 50,000 units by students closed. That is serving the customers.
Results-based education. Yes. That's what we do. There's a different mentality there.
Yes. Jake, I need to hit this one more point, because this is going to tweak you a little bit. And I'm going to share a story with me as well. Scarcity mindset focuses only on price, not on the value. Now, some people may hear the price of education, of multifamily education, and go, that's expensive. Well, okay. My journey to the abundance mindset began in 2008. I'm going to give you a specific story. I was struggling at that time. My father just passed away, and I couldn't pay the bills. It was really hard. I was actually thinking of leaving New York. And I'm like, money's not coming in. I need a new car. So my mom gave me my dad's car, hand-me-down. And at 2008, I decided to plop about 25 G's into education, to real estate education. So how can I do that? I'm like, I don't have enough money to really buy a car, but I'm going to spend 25 G's on my education. I understood the value of that education. I knew that for me to get out of my current situation, I needed to do that. So I did that. I drove that car for 3 years. And 2011, I got my mom's hand-me-down, a gold Lexus with 177,000 miles on it. What a piece
Sounds
of shit.
Sounds nice, though.
What a piece of shit that was. But let me tell
RX
you something.
RX 350?
No, it was just one of those RX models. It was, You know what was great about it? It didn't cost me zero. I owned the car for 4 years, and I had no car payments. I was commuting 6 miles a day on average. I spent $800 on the air conditioning in that 4 years worth of owning it. It didn't cost me a nickel, but I delayed the gratification. And I was always thinking about value. I was always thinking about, man, let me continue this multifamily education. And in 2015, that's when I was able to refi that first deal when I ended up buying my dream car. But there were 6 years there of lean, and I was focusing on value. And, you know, like I said, to spend $25,000 was huge for me. But if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been able to meet Jake, to understand what education is, to understand how to buy a deal. In 2011, 3 years after I did that, we partnered up. A year and a half later, we bought our first deal. So you can see, if I'm focusing just on the price of the education, not on the value of the education,
Gino's
I wouldn't
still driving
be here right
Lexus.
Now. I don't know what I'd be driving. I may be walking right now or riding a bike with all the kids. But don't focus just on the price. Focus on the value, whatever that may be. And I think when you're in the scarcity mindset, all you see is dollar signs, and all you see is things that are just commodities. Not everything in life is a commodity. I've driven $50,000 cars, I've driven $10,000 cars, and I've driven $150,000 cars. The value of a car that's $150,000, when you get into it, it smells nice, man, it makes the G-Dad look nice. I was sporting with Jake. I was in his vet up in Knoxville a couple months ago. People look at you a little bit differently. I'm just saying, and it's not that I'm saying you should or shouldn't, but there's value in that car. It makes you feel good. So don't just look at price, is all I'm saying. Look at what that thing is going to be valuable. And if that's part of your values, so go back into what your value system is. To me, that's not one of my values. I don't care about those shiny objects.
No. Now I'm thinking we might need to get you in the G-Wagon. like the G-Ride or something. It might work. I don't know.
But Jake, don't you agree with me? Like, we always are focusing on price, and you do it a lot, and I do it a lot as well. Yeah, well, no how doubt. Much does it cost? Well, what is it? If it costs me $1, but I'm going to make $3 from it, well, I should pay $2. Why? Don't worry about that. So don't focus just on price. Focus on the value, everybody.
Hey, you've seen it, though. I think a lot over the last few years with me when it's come to some of these expenses.
Yes.
And now even look at the terminology I'm using, expenses. Some of them have been opportunities. And I said, well, Gino, if this is going to cost this, what is it going to actually return, though? So the conversation has changed where we're looking at that saying, this is an investment. What do we think it turns into? And that's where we've evolved as cheapskates. Right?
I love that, Jake, because you're the one who pushes me. Every time we make a new hire, I'm like, oh, God, here goes another 50 G's out of our pocket or 100 G's. And Jake's like, no, don't worry about it. Let it play itself out. If it doesn't work, we can always cut it. And I think that's been your genius, to be able to push me to do that and to reinvest. Scarcity says I'm spending. Abundance says I'm investing. That's the big difference. I'm spending for my education versus I'm investing in my education. I know we've gone a little long, but I need to put this one more point in there, Jay, because this is really important. Scarcity mindset. Producers use the money. Consumers love the money. That is so, so different for me. I mean, I love MJ DeMarco. Go check him out in our previous shows on the Jake and Gino show. We've done two with him. He talks about becoming a producer. If you're a producer and you're producing value, you love to do that. You don't really focus on consuming. People who have the scarcity mindset are always focusing on consuming, not on growing their business or growing their personal development or growing their life. They're worried about consuming. That's really, really important, everybody out there. And that was me when I was at the restaurant. I wasn't worried about producing more value. I was worried about consuming from the business. What's the business going to give me instead of what can I give the business to be able to have the business serve my customers?
And that's why the relationship with my wife works, Gino. I'm a producer and she's a consumer. And we're the yin and the yang, baby. If she ever hears this, I'm dead.
That's why you said it at the end of the show. You're a smart guy. You know what I'm saying, bro? I like that. Where can they get more information, Jake?
Yeah, guys, 100%. Go to 100100REI.com. And if you have a plan out there, you want to advance that plan, hit us up. Get great folks on the other line to take care of you. And we always make it happen. I'm Jake, he's the G-Daddy, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jake.